Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is Michael. We're doing it, our weekly episode of Drive Through HR, and as usual, the intro music hates me. It never starts when I push the button until just as I'm ready to give up hope. Robin, welcome back to Drive Through. We took a week off for HR tech and some other stuff, and I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you doing today?
I am good. I am, you know, still sitting here in disbelief that it's the end of March. But I go for shot number two on Friday, so I'm kind of using that as my calendar now. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I had my shot March 16th, and number two of Moderna is on April 13th. So I've still got a couple weeks to go yet. I survived the first one. I was sore arm for a couple days and kind of felt a little puny for about 24 hours, but outside of that, it wasn't bad. I heard the second one is worse, so let me know how it goes for you on Friday. I'll be interested in that update.
I will.
So many of us doing that. Anyway, but let's not talk about COVID because it's boring and depressing and dominates our lives. Let's talk to somebody who has a far more interesting story and some good information to share. Let's welcome Ashley Brundage to the show. Ashley, welcome to Drive Through HR. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. I've been after you for a little while to try to get you on the show, and it just never seemed like we could make it work. Yeah, exactly. And you and I live I live in Lakeland, and you're over in Tampa, so we're actually semi-neighbors, but we have yet to meet in person. So one of these days, maybe we'll be able to say hello in person. But in the interim, I'd love to give you a chance to talk about your new book and some of the background of your very interesting story. So I guess to start us off, Why don't you tell folks, rather than me give a bio, why don't you tell folks who you are and what you do, and then we'll kind of jump into your story and your book, okay?
Certainly, yeah. So I started this process of using empowerment to drive change and to cultivate the real change that you want for your world. And I uncovered all this by accident. So a lot of people say sometimes they might be an accidental activist. That was kind of me. I worked actually for 12 years in the restaurant industry, and I was an HR point person running a team of 50 people. And that was fun at the same time. And I 2008 happened, as it happened to a lot of people, which is very similar to 2020 happening to people.
Yes.
And I was a victim of the financial crisis, and I lost my job and house and was kind of homeless and didn't know where to turn to next. So I decided to start in really kind of investing in myself, and I did this process called, you know, really knowing yourself. And it's actually the first step of my book, Empowering Differences. And so I'm the founder and president and author of Empowering Differences. And so Empowering Differences is really the intentional act of using empowerment to cultivate the change that you're looking for. So that could be in your career, in your life, in your business. And so using that process of empowerment allowed me to self-identify my authenticity as an open transgender woman. I used that authenticity, I used empowerment to find a career openly back in 2010, before like transgender issues were everyday news. And I grew my career from a part-time bank teller to being the national vice president of diversity and inclusion in less than 5 years, using this concept of empowering your differences. And so I'm excited to talk more about that concept today.
Mm,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course you have the book and all that kind of stuff. Before we go there, which I want to give most of the time to that, but before we go there, you're very active in a leadership role in the business community, you know, in your job, and then you're also very active in the LGBTQ community. And I wonder if you could just kind of talk about those roles for, you know, a couple of minutes, kind of what you get out of that and how you found your way there, along with this kind of a tremendous amount of change in a, you know, 5 to 6 year period. Kind of just walk us through that, and then we'll jump into the book.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I think that volunteering and connecting and standing up and advocating for others is a huge method of empowerment. So if you give power, right, so empower, right, to empower someone, you have to give power and authority to yourself and others. That foundational concept of empowerment. Sorry, I have a printer going off by me.
That's okay.
That. There we go.
Yep.
So that foundational concept of empowerment is really important in your mission. And so I started to volunteer and connect with the communities that I serve. And so what that looked like for me is immediately plugging myself into the LGBT Chamber of Commerce in my city. I just showed up and started to be visible, right? Because being visible is kind of almost that first step of kind of getting to know yourself and then starting to interact with knowing others. That was a lot of fun, but it led to so many more opportunities. And it's like you just get your foot in the door volunteering in a community organization. You realize that every single nonprofit organization would be so glad to have you connecting and helping them drive membership or fundraise. And so that's kind of how I got into this advocacy space, and that led to being president of the regional LGBT Chamber of Commerce, and then I got connected with the national chamber. And then a few years ago, I helped rebrand the national chamber to be more LGBT inclusive. And then I helped launch their trans inclusion task force, which showcases economic empowerment for transgender entrepreneurs. And then that led to, it's like one thing leads to another, right? If you see the hinting at here. That also led to some my connections to GLAAD, the International LGBT Media Advocacy Organization, where we amplify and protect LGBTQ voices. And now I serve on their executive committee, and we have the GLAAD Media Awards coming up in 2 weeks, or actually a little bit less than 2 weeks, week and a half, on April 8th. This advocacy work is really important. It connects to empowerment. So if you're thinking about ways in which to grow your career, definitely connect with nonprofit organizations and volunteer. Mm. That is so important.
One more question before Robin, and I think we'll ask about the book. And that is recently, and you mentioned that in 2010, the news cycle today related to transgender issues is quite different than it was in 2010. And for a while, it was I think it was positive, and lately it's become it's become a political football, like almost everything else in the universe.
Football. Because it's definitely about sports.
Definitely not. Sorry, for sure. Yeah, I'm. So I guess, like, it, you know, this whole notion, like, where we're at now, I mean, it just seems like suddenly sports and girls and sports and bathrooms, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, these things seem to crop up. How does GLAAD and the chamber, the gay chamber, deal with that? And I know HRC does some advocacy. So there's a lot of different people trying to put voices out there, but it's strange to me that these things keep coming up the way they do.
Yeah, I think it all stems to education and then empowerment, and then enlightenment, because you have to have education and empowerment before you can get to enlightenment. You really have to have that connectivity between those two items, and then you'll be able to kind of open up minds and hearts. You know, you see the bathroom, you know, the bathroom battleground has kind of lessened a little bit because they realize that there aren't any, there's no statistical data that shows that that anyone is any more harmed in the bathroom by making bathrooms inclusive for all. So many other countries outside of ours, you know, have open and inclusive bathrooms. You just use the restroom. You know, you go in, you install, you do what you need to do, and then you move on. So I think that they realize that that's not going to be a space where they win in this space. So yeah, political theater. We tend to, you know, highlight things to get, you know, to accelerate a base potentially. The left do the same thing, just as the right do, just to, you know, and it just is packaged a little bit differently. So, you know, just realizing that that's out there. And then obviously the sports, you know, sports is definitely going to always be kind of that next frontier set. And anytime that you have somebody saying, oh, you know, I don't know that we should have transgender people participating in sports, you say, okay, well, so does that mean that we should basically ostracize them? I mean, how well does that work when we put people of color in a different baseball league? Or, you know, we don't want to do that as a society. It's not inclusive. It's not fair to either side, right? Because people want to be the best of all. And, you know, so creating whatever policy you have to do to create that inclusive environment for others is usually that best course of action. And then follow the follow the data. If the data says that transgender people are winning competitions left and right, and the International Olympic Committee has allowed transgender people to participate for more than 10 years, and I haven't seen any on the podium, so I'm thinking that it's not a real issue yet. When it is an issue, let's have a convening then.
Well, and it is just the need for people to get some education and not just rely on sound bites or what seems to be the political slant du jour. And, you know, what did we have Monday, I think it was, you know, Arkansas coming out now with a bill to restrict access to medical treatment for transgender, you know, teens and youth. It's sitting there, being punted around politically.
Political theater.
Yeah, exactly. Performative talk.
Yeah, I was just going to say another thing, too, is that people don't realize is that statistically speaking, there are most likely more transgender men than there are transgender women in society. But because of misogyny, we highlight women and we spotlight women in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you don't want the trans female participating against a sport with your daughter, how are you going to like it when a trans man then is participating against your daughter? Because that's what you're basically going to be arguing. And I don't know that that's any better either.
Yeah. Lots of things for people to think about, which really does get us back to kind of, you know, the core of your personal journey and your professional journey, but it's gotten you to the point now where we have a book to talk about. So let's kind of dive into the book. Obviously we have it linked out on the show site and we'll, have that for people to access. But the book is called Empowering Differences. So tell us a little bit about it, when you kind of said, you know, I'm putting this in book form, and what can readers expect?
Yeah, so honestly, to get a lot of empowerment out of this message, definitely not a book specifically for the transgender community. But I think the general community, everyone has a lot that they can take away from this book. I consulted 10 different voices across this book because I highlight the 10 most common differences that I've seen and how best to empower them. Because your path to empowerment might be different than my path to empowerment. So, you know, when you think about that and you think about how you can utilize empowerment to grow your career, to grow your business, to just grow your personal life, that's really what I hope to see readers get out of the book and the, and the online course that's connected to it. And it's really centered around taking empowering actions to measure the impact that you're making. And so I've broken actually the book and the book into four parts, and I've kind of teased a few of them already, but part one is know yourself. And then part two, or step two, is know others. And so that's kind of like the first part in your empowerment journey. And so I've created a self-assessment that you can access right on my website, empoweringdifferences.com/self-assessment. And you can access that for free, which is great. And it helps you to really look beneath the iceberg because, of course, as we start to be thinking about, okay, what my gender is, what my race is, what my ethnicity is, you know, what my physical abilities are, the things that people can see on the outside is great, but dig a little bit deeper to get to what really needs to be empowered. And then that's when you'll start to do that, when you know more about yourself and then know more about others, which is that step two. And that's kind of getting to know your community, where you come from, getting to know the connections, know the data behind your diverse community or your dimension of diversity that you have that we're talking about, because everybody has them. And then that leads to the second half of the book, which is really in the course, which is really kind of about building a strategy, which is that's the third step. And then the fourth step is those empowering actions, because I really wanted this book and the course connected to it to be actionable for individuals. So I created the top 10 empowering actions, and each action has an activity and there's a video on my website that goes with that. And it really helps you to be actionable, because that's how real empowerment happens.
Yep. And what is so, you know, I was kind of poking around on some things, and you talk about things like, you know, access, influence. When you talk about access, that was one that really kind of stuck out to me. What are your recommendations around that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh, I love access, because real access is whether or not you know you're really empowering someone or not. So if you can hear us today, then that means that you have access. Someone did an empowerment audit for you, and they created the ability for you to hear, right? So from an accessibility point of view, you were able to tap into the, you know, to turn up the volume to hear me, or to have the technology necessary to hear me, or you had the phone in your hand or playing on a Bluetooth speaker in your car, right? So you had the access that way. But also think about it from a standpoint of like your career development journey. Do you have access to the people who are going to manage that process for you and impact that process for you? You know, how are you managing that? I mean, of course, I know you're probably trying to navigate as many mentors as you can, but that's a tall order to have more than one mentor or to even be a mentor. You know, so think about how you're accessing sponsors and what you do to cultivate them. So that's a big part of the access content on my website is around really helping you really connect with all the layers of access because it's really deep. It also helps to fight systemic privileges. It also helps to break down walls and barriers. Yeah, that's a lot. Access is a big, big passion of mine, if you can't tell.
You hit a keyword there, Robin, I think.
I know.
Ashley, I was curious. So with the book and the assessment and the course, those seem to be, at least in my first impression, they seem to be designed for an individual. Is that really the way you structured the book, or is this something that people do for themselves, or is this something that's applicable to teams? How does your program kind of fit in those two different directions?
It's actually connected to any level.
Okay.
So I kind of tried to build it more holistically so that way teams could access it. What I've been doing recently is working with corporations who want to do a cohort together and have them do it together. I know that a lot of organizations are doing book clubs. And, of course, I have a book club outline that I've built for organizations. But my favorite thing is doing the full-scale empowerment outline. And so what I do is it's basically a 60-day plan. And it's consists of a half hour to an hour of empowerment time. If you have only less time to commit, then, you know, we might make it more than 60 days. but I customize a plan that works best for your organization. And then I create a custom landing page on empoweringdifferences.com where you'll be able to access your course with your team. And then together, you all will be going through, and there's a theme for each week. You know, so like, for example, theme one is around leading to empowerment. And so lots of self stuff that you have to do in that week. And then week two might be about, connecting and understanding differences a little bit more. So that's where we'll kind of dive a little bit deeper into those top 10 differences. So it's really applicable to, depending on who's picking it up. If a business owner is picking this up, they can apply it to their small business or medium-sized business as well. There's a whole section in this part in the course and in the book surrounding organizations that can empower others. So there's kind of takeaways depending on who's activating it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
All right, no dead air on the
yeah, you know, and kind of following up on that, I love the whole interplay of, you know, your personal passion for, you know, the messaging around empowering differences, but also how that interplays with your role as a VP of diversity and inclusion. How do you see, you know, in the time that you've spent sort of, you know, working, I'm using air quotes there, working in the space, you know, how have you seen that sort of that role of the internal kind of corporate diversity, inclusion, and belonging, you know, profession, how have you seen that evolve and change?
Wow, it's it's been on a process, and then after George Floyd was murdered, I'll tell you that every single organization changed that process and literally pressed on this on the pedal on the right for those listening in the U.S. let me just say, it was pretty different, and so I've seen lots of rapid. Rabid attention for these kinds of programs, a lot more attention being focused onto, DEI in general. I have an unpopular opinion that I'd like to share on this, on this topic. And I'm a big fan of having unpopular opinions because then that just gets people thinking sometimes, you know, to be uncomfortable, right? my unpopular opinion is that we shouldn't be using the word diversity, because we number one, it's linked to historical, reaching historical minimums, mm-hmm. because it was born from affirmative action. Mm-hmm. And you know, the last thing mm-hmm. I want to be is that minimum quota, in essence, a diversity quota, right? And then on the flip side, you have white het cis males in organizations who see the word diversity and think, oh, it doesn't apply to me, move right on.
Yep.
So I think either way, you dice it, you immediately alienate more than half of your employee base potentially. So mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of calling your program or talking about the actual actions that you're hoping to drive. So have mm-hmm. talk about empowerment, talk about inclusion, talk about equity, talk about belonging, right? Talk about all, mm-hmm. you know, put that in the name, put justice in the name, right? Mm-hmm. Put all those other actions that you're hoping to drive from the program, and then, you know, then it can be applicable to everyone. That's my unpopular opinion.
Yep.
You know, I had noticed that you did not use diversity in your – I used mm-hmm. it in our notes because that's still the space that I think of it as, but not because I necessarily embrace or disagree with what you said, but rather I had noted that you used belonging, and it's – there's been an evolution, just as there is seemingly every company
yep.
trying to hire a director of diversity and whatever other words they attach. What does belonging mean to you, Ashley, in terms of like your practice? Because
I think it stems to culture. I think it stems to, you know, for those that have seen like the Verne Myers thing, right? Inclusion is being right asked to dance, while diversity is just being invited to the dance, right? Well, and then I say, like, right, equity is the dance floor's level, right? and that every, you know, if you have a wheelchair, right, you have an accessible ramp and you're able to dance on the same dance floor, right? And then belonging is like dancing like no one's watching, right? Or like singing in the shower.
Yep.
You just get to be you and don't worry about what anyone else is going to say. Because that you being you is what's going to lead to the innovation that you're going to bring.
Nice analogy and nice explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. We're down to 3 minutes. So I don't know, Robin, did you have a quick last question before we go to our wrap up?
No, I think we need to let Ashley let our listeners know where they can find her. I found her Instagram already, I'll tell you that.
Yay. Yes, my social media is consistent because I think consistency is really important into cultivating more belonging and followers. So I'm at Ashley T. Brundage, all one word, Ashleytbrundage, on every platform, and then I'm also at Empowering Diff on every platform as well, and that would be right for all the updates with Empowering Differences from, you know, reviews and Forbes that might be coming my way
mm-hmm.
to Fairy Godboss to ABC-CBS, NBC affiliates. There's lots of stuff going on, so you definitely want to follow me there. And then, of course, my website, which is empoweringdifferences.com, and that's where you can sign up for the book or enroll in the course, because that course is going to come with the book and the workbook. You can
mm-hmm.
download those. You can also submit my course for your professional development credit. Some individuals have submitted it for SHRM and gotten
excellent.
As many as 40 hours of credits. Which is really awesome because it comes with the outline download, so that way you can submit that right in your plan.
Great. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Ashley. It was great to finally get a chance to connect with you, albeit on a podcast. And like I said, maybe one of these days we can bridge the gap between here and Lakeland and sit down and have a cup of coffee or something. I'd look forward to meeting you in person. Thanks for joining us. Robin, closing remarks?
Great show. Loved the conversation, and happy Tuesday, everybody.
Well, we have another show. You too, Ashley. We have another show tomorrow, same time, different guest, and we will talk at you again then. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.